I think also what we have here is probably the first hip surgery in the scripture. Many might be related to that. What God was doing in touching the hollow of his thigh is really to get a man to realize who he is and who God is. In a personal encounter. And then Jacob asked for blessing. And I was kind of surprised a little bit that you would expect, what is he looking for, really blessing? What kind of blessing? It wasn't, you know, there, it's a material blessing. But he said, what's your name? And he changed his name to Israel. I understand it is the Prince of God, but I'm going to break it up a little bit. It's Ish-ra-el. It's a man. Ish is a man. Ra, so, il is God. A blessing is a man, so, God. That's what makes you prince. That's what makes you prince. What makes you prince is you saw God. You know what makes us princes, prince and on this earth? Is that we behold the glory of God shining in the face of the Lord Jesus with unveiled face. We'll change from glory to glory. That's what that is, a blessing. Sometimes we're looking at the blessing, it might be a relief or might be an increase. But the blessing here, what makes him prince, is a man that saw God. That's what exactly have taken place there. And to you and I, it's the same thing. To draw so close to the heart of God, to the face of God, to see God. And there he blessed him. And Jacob never forgot that scene. Never forgot that scene in all of his life as he countered that day. In the end of his life, he could not lean on his hip, but he could lean on his staff. The only one that it was said of him in the book of Hebrews, and he worshiped. Here is a man who come to the very presence of God and appreciated. And you and I lose a lot, privately and collectively, when we are not in the presence of God.
Can someone comment on the...
Comment quickly on the phrase again that Brian brought up.
Just comment quickly on a phrase Brian brought up, the sun arose on him. It was 20 years before when the sun set. And if you look at it, it's found in Genesis 28 and verse 11. It said, so he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And the whole time he's in the house of Laban, he's going through a period of darkness in his life. And one of the challenges we have as believers is, how long are we going to let periods of darkness in our life? If we allow them to be there, it's because we're denying what God wants to do in us. And when we come to chapter 32, in verse 31, it says, after he wrestled with God, after he acknowledged, because when he left his father's house, he was still Esau in his mind. And while he's in Laban, well, with Laban, now he comes back, and now he recognizes, I am Jacob. I am the one who has not lived my life according to honesty and truth. And he wrestles with God. And when he comes to the end of himself, this is where it says, the sun rose on him. And I connect that with what Emil just said. To live in the good of being in a right relationship with God is the place we want to be. If you or I are not living in a place where God wants us to be right now, let's get out of the darkness. And let's enjoy, by repentance, acknowledging what we've done that is not according to God, and acknowledging his forgiveness. Then his son rises upon us. And we can walk in that pleasure of walking with him where he can bless us.
I just have the same question as God in verse 28, 29. Why would Jacob ask, what is thy name? That's not something I would think of asking if I was wrestling with someone who could bless me.
Manoah asked the same question. Moses asked the same question. And any time you get encounter with God, the thing that really man desired, because all of a sudden Jacob realized there is someone who is more powerful, more smarter, more able than him. And he wanted to know that very same person. Moses asked a question and Manoah asked a question. I think to me is the idea I wanted to know him, that we might know him. The beauty of it that in the New Testament, we know what's his name.
And I think the answer that God gives implies, you already know my name, don't you? Why are you asking my name? You already know my name. It's I am the one who has already appeared to you. I'll just make a closing remark referring to Philippians 3 once again. I just want to turn there just for a moment. I think this comparison between verse 2 and verse 3 perhaps encapsulates or send us off with a response to the considerations we've had together. It says in verse 2, the end of verse 2, the authorized translation, the King James says, beware of the concision, which is a word that I think you'll hardly find it used in English anywhere. It's a very, very unusual word. It just means sort of like cutting. And mutilation is what the New King James says. Beware of the mutilation. This is a reference to the habit, to the tradition, to the practice that God had instituted. It wasn't just a habit or a tradition. It was what God had given to his people, to the circumcision. But then he says in verse 3, we are the circumcision. What had become merely a tradition without God's influence, without God's real presence in the heart and in the mind, had become a mutilation. It was just a cutting. It had no meaning except a cutting. It was just mutilation. But what had become the way of reality through Christ was now the true circumcision, the circumcision of the heart. And I would say that what we take from this is that for all of us, we are always susceptible to living based on tradition and living based on past knowledge, past experiences, past upbringing, past successes, even spiritual successes, spiritual growth that we might have really enjoyed. Maybe we could think back to a time where we knew we really were growing with the Lord spiritually. We were reading, we were benefiting, we were appreciating the blessings of the Lord. But if it becomes simply rote and habitual, it's something ugly, something mutilating. And the reality is when there's a change of mind and a change of behavior, these are what these three patriarchs have experienced. A change of thinking and a new understanding of who God was and a new way to behave in response to that. So whatever age we're at, Emil mentioned earlier, you know, dyeing your hair blue and so on. I don't know too many 40 and 50 year olds who dye their hair blue to fit in. But I know 40 and 50 year olds who really want to get a lot of luxurious things so they fit in. Want to get the fanciest things in their homes or the best cars. This is a lesson again for all of us. And we all are susceptible to this habit of thinking where we are content to just keep going the same old way. And we don't make progress with the Lord. The Lord wants to bring us through these turning points. So we appreciate who he is. We appreciate his blessings for what they are, and we appreciate him as the blesser, for indeed that's who he is to us.
So this ends our time of study.